Welcome to The Power of Digital Policy, a show that helps digital marketers, online communications directors, and others throughout the organization balance out risks and opportunities created by using digital channels. Here's your host, Christina Podner.
Welcome to another episode of The Power of Digital Policy. I'm glad that you're here with me. And today I'm delighted to welcome back Christoph Trout. Some of you will remember Christoph, who spent time with us back in June of last year, 2020, explaining how to gain trust through authentic storytelling. For those who don't know Christoph, he's a top 14 content marketer, top 24 digital marketer. He's an author. He's a journalistic storyteller. And he's also on the top 5% of global podcasters, which is why we should listen to his advice on live streaming podcasts for the right ROI on our content strategy. And so he's here today to talk to us about his new book on the topic. Get comfy, get ready, and we're going to dive in with Christoph. Christoph, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Christina. It's great to chat with you again. Yes, get ready, get comfy, cuddle up. Let's talk about live streaming.
I'm not sure that folks actually think about cuddling up, but you know what? I bet they're going to cuddle up, but then they're going to jump out of their seats and get ready to implement a bunch of things you're going to tell us today to get really, really smart about. But, you know, obviously you've been busy writing this book. It's all about how to easily live stream your podcast. Before we jump in and get super comfy, tell us, what do you mean by live podcast? Let's start there.
Yeah, what I mean by that is, so certainly, as you know, more and more companies are launching podcasts, right? I mean, you have a podcast, I have a podcast, my book also has a podcast. And while it's not as crowded as blogging, it's kind of starting to creep up. You know, there's more and more podcasts. So, of course, I'm always looking for what's the next thing to help me and my brands stand out. And if you have a podcast, especially, I think the live streaming of that podcast can really help you stand out. And here's kind of how that looks. So instead of recording a podcast, what you actually do is you live stream the recording. Certainly, you can't edit it. So I always tell people, you know, if you don't want it to be on air, don't say it. We can cut it out once we edit the podcast version. And I do edit things out usually that don't make any sense, you know, on the podcast version, for example. But really, that's what I'm talking about. You just, instead of recording it and publishing it later, you live stream it and you already get that audience right there. I did one the other day with the state auditor in Iowa. And just on Amazon alone, we had like 1,100 viewers. And I'm like, that's 1,100 viewers I would have missed out on.
So why do you think that live podcasting is so much more interesting to people than sort of the traditional podcasting?
I don't know if it's more interesting, but I think it's just a different audience. It's another way to get in front of people. And I listen to podcasts all day long. When I'm writing, I probably don't listen to them as much because it's kind of hard to concentrate. But when I'm doing like keyword research and I'm planning or whatever, you know, I have podcasts running all day. I don't have live streams running all day. So there's still a place for podcasting, no doubt. I'm a big, big fan. But in addition, the live stream, it reaches an audience differently, right? It's video. It's not just audio. And people, they kind of run across it. They see it. And then they play it. You know, it's a different, it's just a different audience, a different medium to reach them, you know, at that time and place.
Well, certainly the timing seems right. You know, one of the things that I was going to ask you at some point today is about Clubhouse, right? Because it seems like everybody's giving away one of two invites they have for Clubhouse. So it feels like it's definitely a moment in time when folks want to be engaged in real time. Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah, it does. And Clubhouse is an interesting thing because everybody is indeed talking about it. But I'm not on the bandwagon yet. The only thing I do, honestly, is give away invites. And that's about it. And when I get new ones, and now Twitter Spaces is launching, right, which is basically the same thing. And I joke, you know, that used to be the only way we talked to each other verbally. And now everybody thinks it's like,
it's cool again.
It's the innovative thing. So I do agree. I think that's kind of on the upswing. People want to participate. And that's an interesting thing too on live streams. Like you can't currently necessarily call in, right? You can leave comments and you can participate that way. So that's a great way. You can't do that on a podcast. Like right now, you know, we're recording, so people can ask a question. But if we're live streaming, they can ask questions. Now, the problem sometimes with questions is, if they're so far off base, you know, you got to bring it back to the thing, to the show, what you're talking about, or you just ignore them, or you answer in writing. So that's another option too. But that is a way to do it. The other thing, depending on how you do it, I like to go to multiple channels at once, you know, usually Twitter, Periscope, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Amazon Live is currently one of my favorites. But if you start and you do one channel, let's say you do Instagram Live, for example, you can actually invite people on stage with you, so to speak. You know, somebody can say, I got a question. They click join, you approve them. They can actually come up and say, they say, hey, Christoph, I disagree or I agree or, you know, whatever. And you can have a conversation. So that is actually another level of engagement.
So that's sort of interesting to me because I've recently been a part of two different live podcasts, right? One that was highly energetic, lots of people kind of jumping in, jumping out, asking questions, dropping off. And then another one that was actually a professional level podcast. And I was the only person there. So obviously a little bit of a risk potentially with that. It's already harder to manage the live podcast, as you mentioned. What other challenges do you see folks facing? Like, what should they be thinking about before they just jump in and say, Christoph said to do it, so I'm doing it?
Well, I don't know how many people do that anyways, but...
Oh, I would.
well, thank you. fan club of one. I don't know, but I'm kidding. So first of all, you do want to have a little bit of a strategy anyways. What are you doing? What are you going to talk about? Who are you trying to reach? You know, what's your style? And then realize that the first few episodes, nobody's going to pay any attention to you. They can be horrible. And my first episodes, I mean, don't make them horrible on purpose. So don't, you know, if you're going to at me saying I said that, I didn't. But, you know, just keep in mind, when you first get started, not that many people will listen to you anyways. So learn as you go. It's okay to do that. But figure out what you're going to talk about. What's your style? What's a loose agenda? I like to have a loose agenda usually. You know, sometimes very loose, like we're going to talk about this topic. Okay, let's go. And just get started. The other thing is, there is so many dominoes that have to fall. And again, Jason Falls is the first one that put that quote in my mind. When something doesn't work, don't ever get overwhelmed. Never feel bad. It's not your fault. Don't go to the boss and say, so sorry. But it's not even like, what can you do about it? It's the internet went down, or Restream is down for the day, or Facebook is down if you stream to Facebook, or whatever. Like, there's 100 different things that can go wrong. So I have all kinds of backup plans, so to speak. So for example, I go live with video. If the guest video doesn't work, we might just go without video. So I just put up a logo, right? And we're still going to go live, but it's really just an audio version, even though technically it's video. If that doesn't work at all, we might just go live on one channel. If that doesn't work, we might just record an audio version of a podcast. So now we're not doing live at all. Now we're kind of to the point where a lot of guests, Christina, have realized that a lot of people listen to the live stream. So sometimes people want to reschedule, which is fine. But you got to have all these different things in mind and never lose your cool. Stop apologizing for everything, people. It's kind of crazy. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? Like, just roll with the punches, move forward, do your best, and, you know, be relevant.
And hopefully have fun.
And I think it's so much fun. Yes, have fun. I think it is so much fun. And the other thing too is I learn so much all the time. And the other thing too, by the way, I'm in my office. I can't complain about my office in Iowa, but this is where I am. Like, you know, any chance I can get to talk to an adult, I'll take it.
You know what? Some days I feel like that too. So tell me a little bit in terms of who is the right demographic right now to jump on and start doing live podcasting. Is it as applicable to really large brands as it is to the individual? Or is there a certain demographic that should really be kind of harnessing the moment?
Well, I think any brand really has the opportunity to stay relevant through podcasting. And here's the reason why I say it like that is because there is so much competition. I'll give you an example. I was talking to this company and they do consulting for family-owned businesses only. And I'm like, well, that's very niche. But it's not as niche as you think. I mean, there's like 8 competitors. And how do I know that? I searched for that company and there was 7 competitors buying ads against their name.
Mm, you know? Wow.
So, yeah, right. And it's like, I'm like, that's very niche, but it's not as niche as it actually sounds. So could that company make a dent by creating a podcast, especially if none of the competitors have a podcast? Absolutely. Would they have enough to talk about? Absolutely. There's stuff to talk about, you know, for any industry. You just have to figure out who's going to do it, how we're going to talk about it, what's our brand, blah, blah, blah. Don't overthink it, though. Don't, you know, you can have fun. You can make it entertainment. And the one thing you got to remember, too, when you do a podcast, when you do a live stream, you are the entertainment. You have to be a little bit more entertaining than, let's say, on one of those boring Zoom meetings that many of us are on all day long. So, you know, but yeah, I think it, you can get a leg up. And the other thing too, live streams and podcasts, both of them at different levels rank in SEO. So in theory, if your competitor's website ranks for something, but they don't have a podcast, your podcast can rank right by where they rank because Google now shows podcasts. On the flip side, live streams show up on social feeds, right? So LinkedIn, Twitter, et cetera, YouTube. You know, YouTube is like the second biggest search engine. So there you go. You already have it on YouTube just by pushing it there. And, you know, those social feeds also show up on the front page of Google search results. So my point is, if your competitor's website ranks really high, and I'm not saying you should give up on your website, don't, but those are two additional easy ways to try to get up there. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunity for many different brands.
And is there anything that folks should be thinking about from an SEO perspective, as well as maybe I'm thinking even accessibility, right? Because I'm kind of going back to my policy, Sherpa hat, putting that on my head and going like, how do you deal with, you know, podcasting, live podcasting and accessibility, right? Folks that don't necessarily have hearing like you and I do, that do have an impairment around hearing, you know, how do you deal with that in a live situation?
It's a very tough question. And that actually did happen the other day because the live stream with Rob Sand, which, as I mentioned, had like 1100 on Amazon, like 600 on Twitter right away. There was actually somebody that responded on Twitter and said, is there a version available that has closed captions? And I wrote back and I said, unfortunately, none of these networks currently have live captioning. Now, I made a little bit of a decision, right, where I'm going to live stream. So the way around that, quite frankly, is to live stream to Facebook, because Facebook live captions all your content, all your videos, so including the live streams. Now, from a business perspective, you know, I currently I'm not streaming there. I could, you know, it costs a little bit more because you got to buy a different license to get it on there for a Facebook page. But I think that's probably the easiest. Like every time once in a while, when I read the captions, they seem pretty accurate. And they do that for everything. I live stream my daughter's basketball games and it captions whoever is talking near the camera. And, you know, anything they say gets captioned.
And that, they like of course, it, feeds you know. Back into your SEO as well, right?
Well, I don't know if that feeds into SEO for Facebook. So I don't know. I don't think so. But I'm not sure. But on YouTube, I don't think YouTube live captions yet. But it's, as I said, yet it's probably just a matter of time because at some point, you know, whoever does that can get a better, bigger market share too, you know, because people who can't hear it, they're going to go there, right? They're going to go to Facebook. Like if I get 100 complaints, people can't read my podcast, my live stream, you know, I would, you know, I probably move there a lot quicker than if nobody ever asked, but now somebody asks. So I got to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So what kind of tools, I mean, now we're starting to get down this path of, you know, tool talk, what types of tools do you need? You know, does the tool set differ? Obviously you started to already talk about Facebook versus other platforms like YouTube, but do the platforms differ for an individual versus a brand, or is it all the same set of ingredients?
Well, if you're one of those people that is going to call me and say, we can't do it, Christoph, because we don't have the tools, I'm going to tell you that's just a big fat excuse. You don't want to do it because you can do it with just your phone. And that's actually how I started doing it many years ago, right? I would just live stream to Periscope or Blab, or I never really did Meerkat. So you can do it just with your phone. And also, you know, we're recording this on Zoom, so you can actually do it with Zoom. Now, the one thing with Zoom is it's not as easy to do like graphics and stuff. So if you look at my live streams, I mean, I got like things flying in and there's lower thirds and there is, you know, like sometimes we play a video and all those different things. I'm not sure how easy that is on Zoom, but you can literally start with your phone. Put your phone on a tripod. My book's cover photo was taken with my iPhone. And it looks just fine. It's even on a t-shirt. You know, it looks good. And throw pillows. We have throw pillows, Christina. I don't know. I'm maybe overdoing this.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazon offers that now. So, but anyway, and so you can do that, right? You just, all you need is a phone and maybe a mic. I mean, I have a fancier mic now, but my first 200 some episodes, I just used my AirPods. You know, I just finally kind of stepped it up a little bit because it looks nicer on video. That's really the main reason, not because it sounds better. It does sound better, but it looks better. So you can kind of slowly get the right equipment, you know, like a ring light. I used a little bitty ring light for the longest time that my daughter had. Now I bought a bigger one that's on a tripod. I mean, like last month or 2 months ago.
Getting fancy.
So, yeah, you know, but I survived and I grew, you know, the podcast had like 100-some thousand downloads and without a mic, you know, I didn't even have a real mic. So you don't need it to get started and you can slowly kind of buy those different things or, you know, buy them quicker if you like, but don't let it stop you. I use Switcher Studio for my production on the phone, on the iPad. So it's an iPad app and you can like do split screen. You can do different things. You can like, you know, show videos. You can have different lower thirds. And then I use Restream. So I push Switcher to Restream and then Restream, depending on whatever plan you have, you can live stream to up to 30 platforms. Mm. And so I currently, I think, do 4 usually. YouTube, because I want to be there. And that does help with SEO, actually. Plus, I don't have to wait for the upload, right? It's already there. Once it's live, it's uploaded. Done. And then I go to Amazon. Then I go to Twitter and Periscope. That's the same thing. And then LinkedIn. So, but if you want more, I've live streamed to as many as maybe 8 channels. I don't think there's 30 channels for like the everyday marketer to use, maybe 10. And then some are gaming channels that probably aren't that relevant, but you can do that. So that's kind of my setup, but super simple, quite frankly.
What is like the one thing that you wish you would have known when you started? If somebody's looking to get started, they haven't experimented yet, how or what should they do so that they kind of leapfrog over the learning curve?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, I've been on air for a long time, but it's easy to forget about it. Even now talking to you, every once in a while, I start using my TV voice, so to speak, and it gives me a headache. And Max Brandstetter, who's also contributed a couple chapters to the book and has the Wild Business Growth podcast, he said, your podcast voice is your real voice. And it's so easy to forget because, you know, I'm talking to you and I think I have to yell at the mic because otherwise, I mean, you're a time zone over, Christina. So, you know, you can't hear me unless I yell, right? but it's weird. Like you have to remember some of those things. And then the other biggest thing, honestly, has been for me, just to keep in mind how much stuff can go wrong. And just roll with it. When something goes wrong, I like acknowledge it on air. When people say stuff they would have never said on TV, we just go with it. I had Pam Dittner on the podcast the other day. And she goes, this is like 6:30 at night when we live streamed. And so we don't overthink what times. We live stream whenever we have time, whenever it works. And this was one at 6:30 at night. And she goes, well, here it is 6:10. I got an email from Christoph saying, we're going live on all these channels. I better go shower. And so we talked about that. I said, Pam, it's all good. I just showered at 4 o'clock, you know? So like roll with that humanness and, you know, and if something doesn't work, roll with that. Like every once in a while I say things on the live stream, I'm like, okay, I want to bring this person on the show. Okay. What button, where is he? You know what I mean? Like people can see that I'm looking at my production board. I don't pretend like it's TV, that there is people behind the curtain, even though that is actually a good idea, quite frankly, if you have somebody to be a producer behind the curtains. I do that on the Real Talk, the Customer Insights show. And basically what I do there is, you know, I push all the buttons. I don't do any talking. And certainly it keeps it less stressful for the host.
So I'm wondering about larger brands, but I guess, you know, this could be smaller brands as well that are just very specific about their brand and how they want to be perceived in the marketplace. They may not feel as comfortable being down to earth, rolling with the punches. Things might need to be a little bit more scripted, especially I'm thinking kind of some of the financial sector, you know, aspects of like, what can you say? What can't you say? The pharma folks, have you gotten it cleared through legal? You know, is this really the right channel for those industries as well? Or is this sort of for the verticals that, you know, can be a little bit more laid back, can be flying off the cuff and saying things that don't necessarily move the market? Are there kind of folks that should be a little bit more mindful of going down this path? Or is it pretty much free for all? You just have to understand what boundaries are in place before you get on air.
Well, everybody should be mindful to begin with. But talking about regulated brands, that's always one of my favorite topics because I really can't be in their shoes every day, day after day. I know it's very stressful for them. And however, you know, relationships with legal and the regulation folks, I mean, it's a relationship, right? So maybe don't start with the live stream. Maybe start with an internal podcast. Maybe start with an external podcast. So the internal podcasting, which for what I do, I don't see a lot of value for like my projects, but like Blueberry is one of the platforms that does it. And basically what you do is, you know, it's like the CEO, they do internal podcasts, you know, and they go to the internal employees only. And maybe that's the way to start. You kind of start there to get people comfortable with the system and the type of content. And then maybe you record some podcast episodes and have a conversation with legal and say, how would we go about doing this? And that's always the way to do it. You know, you go over and say, here's what I'm trying to do. What do you think? How do we get it done? What do I need to think about? And they might say, hey, we just need to see an outline. Don't talk about this. We'll give you a list of things never to talk about. Who knows? But you don't know until you ask. So I think you can do it. But this is why I don't necessarily want to be in a regulated industry more than a couple of days at a time, Christina, is because it's like it's so much more work. You know, like you and I, like we want to go on a show together. We just like, OK, when do you want to do it? Let's hop on. Let's talk about it. Right. I'm not running it by anybody. Neither are you. And so there's a little bit more stress involved. A little bit more work involved. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't have a good relationship with the people that have to approve it, it's going to become a little harder too.
Absolutely. Although I'm really jazzed up about this idea that you're talking about, which is, I think, a phenomenal one, which is really piloted internally. Show that you can produce things high quality. They can be done in a way that's really, I don't want to say predictable, but that's comfortable for the legal and regulatory folks, right? So there's always a way to get things done. You just have to figure out where you can get the water through the crack. So I'm wondering, yeah. So I'm really excited. Tell me about the book itself. So this book is coming out that you wrote. You are a prolific writer, obviously. This is book number 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
thank you.
Coming out on March 10th. And tell us about the book. What's in it and where can we get it?
Yeah, I mean, so of course it's available everywhere. Amazon, authenticstorytelling.net/going-live. And really it walks you through the process. How do you decide whether or not you want to go live? How do you do it? How do you get there quickly? What are some of the tools? Who should own what? What are the topics? Guests or no guests? That's a whole nother debate, right? Should you invite people on? If you invite guests on, who do you invite on? How do you decide? When do you schedule them? You know, all those different things. We'll discuss that. How to dress for a live stream. I'm sitting here in my currently New York Rangers winter hat and a t-shirt. And I was going to wear that if we were to do video too, you know, like full disclosure. But some brands that might not work. I probably would have taken off the New York Rangers hat. But you know what I mean? Like back in the day, like you have to be very formal. So you want to be very clear with your brand how that looks. You know, how do you expect people to dress? Do they really have to wear a suit? Or maybe in today's world, just a tie and a shirt and a jacket and, you know.
You're already overdressed in today's world.
Pajama pants for the rest. So, but basically it talks you through how to do it. You know, what to worry about, what not to worry about. And what was interesting to me, so how I write my books usually is, you know, I write a lot on my blog. And then at some point I go, okay, what's a topic I could write a book on? And then I go and see what other books are out there on the topic. So content performance culture, there wasn't really much else out there that covers the exact same thing, but there's a lot of books about content marketing. When I going live, I can't find any books that talk about live streaming your podcast. Like, so, you know, I thought there was a need. I thought there's an opening. I have a lot of content on it. I do have some nice contributors. I got the foreword. It's coming from Nick Mattingly. He's the CEO of Switcher Studio. And, you know, so I turned it into a book and it's, you know, like 170, 180 pages, something like that. And, you know, hopefully people can learn from it. Hopefully not just learn from it, but do it, implement it. Right? Try it. And here's some tricks. You don't have to make all the mistakes I made. I made plenty of mistakes. I mean, muting the wrong people, you know, or talking on mute. Oh my God, this is 2021. Like, right. Everybody's doing that, talking on mute, or streaming to the wrong account. I've done that before, you know, stream to the client account instead of your own, for example, caught it quickly, but there's all these tips and tricks on how you can avoid those things. Other than just paying attention, which, you know, there's so many steps involved, can be hard to catch everything, but hopefully it can help you, you know, stay in front of your audience and yet another channel.
Well, I'm certainly excited. I'm excited because, first of all, obviously you have a huge impact in the industry, but I think more than that, you're just very practical with your advice. And so I'm excited to learn quite a few things and put them, really your tips and advice into action, because I always learn so much. So thanks for being with us. Thanks for sharing some of your insights, and looking forward to having you back once this book is out the door and you're getting ready to put the next one on the burner.
No pressure. We'll see what that topic is about. Thank you so much. It's always great to talk with you.
Same here. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for joining the Power of Digital Policy. To sign up for our newsletter, get access to policy checklists, detailed information on policies, and other helpful resources, head over to thepowerofdigitalpolicy.com. If you get a moment, please leave a review on iTunes to help your digital colleagues find out about the podcast.